Morning, morning. How are we all doing?
Good.
Thank you. Thank you, Mimi. How are we all doing? Yay. We're awake this morning. Good stuff. So yeah, just like Rachel was saying, prayer and fasting has kicked off. It started on Wednesday. And if you haven't started yet, that's absolutely fine. We're only a few days in, so you can start from today. And there's all kinds of ways you can do that. Maybe you've fasted before, and I just want to encourage you, take a little step extra. Just do a little bit more. If you've never fasted before, come and talk to one of the team afterwards. There's lots of different ways you can do it. But it's not just because we need to go on a diet after Christmas. But I like how someone said it's like hitting the spiritual reset button. Like at the start of the year, we're putting God center stage once again, clearing away the distractions, clearing away everything else that has gotten in the way. And we're willingly laying down our comfort for a little while, not forever, just temporarily, so that at the start of the year, we can put first things first. Does that sound good? Good stuff. So yeah, like Rachel was saying, this week we're going to have a theme across the 3 weeks. This week, our theme for prayer and fasting, what we're going to be praying into as a church today and on Wednesday, is for our friends and family. So unless you live in a cave, I'm sure you all know someone who doesn't know Jesus. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend, a neighbor, a work colleague, your hairdresser, your postman, whoever it is. I'm sure we can all think of just one person who we would love to see in this place, who we would love to see meet the King of Kings, who would love to see give their lives to God and experience a whole new adventure, a whole new way of living life to the full. So that's what we're going to be praying about today, and I'm going to unpack that a little bit later. But as we enter 2020, we've been thinking and praying about this as a leadership team across all the different Equippers locations and here as well. And our theme for 2020 is, I believe. I believe. Can everyone say, I believe? Good stuff. You're already halfway there. So, I believe. This isn't just a one-off thing that we're doing at the Lighthouse. We are joining in with a massive movement of people across Surrey and beyond, even all the way in Essex. And we are going to say together, I believe. This 2020, I believe. And I don't know what it is you're believing for this year, but we want to partner with you in that. We want to say this year, I believe. I believe that there's more. I believe that there's better. I believe that the amazing things of 2019 are going to translate into 2020, and I believe there's going to be more. I believe that the losses and the defeats and the failures and the heartaches of 2019, they're not going to translate into 2020. I'm going to say, I believe there's better this year. I believe there's more. Maybe it's a financial struggle that you're going through and your boss has come up to you and your job isn't looking very secure, but you're saying, no, come on, I believe. I believe things can be different. Maybe you haven't been given a great prognosis by your doctor. Maybe something's going on, but we can take a stand with you and say, no, I believe. I believe that I will be healthy. I believe that God can do something. Maybe, like we were talking about praying this week, maybe there's friends and family, people dear to you in your life that don't yet know Jesus or have walked away or are distant. You say, no, come on, I believe. I believe that this 2020 is going to be different. It's going to be better. There's going to be more. And we're entering a new season of faith as a church. We're going to be asking more. We're going to be dreaming bigger. We're going to be daring to pray outrageous prayers. Because sometimes we sort of come to God and we think, okay, God, I know you can do that, but I'm not so sure about this. Or I know I can pray for this, but maybe that's a little bit too scandalous. But no, come on, I believe 2020 is going to be an outrageous year. An outrageous year in a good way where there's more, there's better. We're dreaming bigger. We're hoping for more. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, in the New King James, some of you might have seen this verse before. It's quite a famous verse. Paul's talking about how we reflect God. And he says, we all, with unveiled face, not shrinking back, not trying to, you know, make sure we're all good enough before we come to God, but with unveiled face, as we are, boldly, confidently, beholding in a mirror, reflecting the glory of the Lord, as we do that, we are being transformed into the same image. The same image. This morning, you look like God. Come on, the Bible says that we are made in his image. And Paul's saying in the New Testament, we are being transformed into that same image. Come on, can we boldly come forward and say, not because of anything we've done, but because of what God did for us, we look like God. We're part of his family. We're his children. And we can come forward and do what? Transformed into the same image, from glory to glory. From glory to glory. From one degree of glory to the next. Come on. 2019 was a good year, but 2020 is going to be better. From glory to glory, 2019 to 2020, amazing to beyond amazing. Can we believe that together for 2020? Come on, this year, what is it you're believing for? And how can we partner with you saying, I believe. I believe with you. I believe there's more. I believe this is going to be different. I mean, there's this phrase that often gets thrown around in Equippers churches. If you see it, you can have it. If you see it, you can have it. And this was sort of coined by a guy called Pastor Francesco, who has launched Equippers Rome. So he was saying, he got this revelation from God that if you can see something, if you can see what God has in store for you, you can have it. And he started putting it on wristbands when we went to visit him in Rome. I got one of these little wristbands. It has it in Italian, but still it says, if you see it, you can have it. What he did was that he saw that there was a need in Rome. There was a need for a new move of God. There was a need for what was once the center of Christianity. He's saying God's going to break into this place. And it's only been going for a couple of years, but already, I want to tell you this morning, Francesco saw it and he got it. Because right now, Equippers Rome is the biggest Protestant church in the city of Rome that we've ever seen for hundreds of years. He saw it. And God says, right, you can have it. So this year, I believe. But how do we put that belief into action? Well, I think Jesus summed it up pretty well when he said how we need to do three things in our prayer when we come to God. We need to ask, we need to seek, and we need to knock. So the first one, well, let's go through all three. So in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, I'm reading in the NLT. Jesus is just about finishing up his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking about how we should pray and how we should approach God. And he says this, keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you'll find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, I don't know about you, but my experience of prayer and of life, it doesn't always seem to line up with that. Jesus is making some pretty outrageous statements here. He's saying, keep on asking and you will, not you might, you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. God's got to back up his words on that. That's a pretty outrageous statement. Everyone will. So my question this morning is, when we're declaring, I believe, is there any weight behind those words when we say them? Is there any weight here that we're putting behind those words, I believe? When we ask, are we believing that we will receive? So this first one, ask. My question to you is, what do you need this morning to ask God for? What do you need? What do you need to ask God for? What do you need him to do? And then my second challenge is, why aren't you asking? Why aren't you asking? God's making us a promise here. Everyone who asks will receive. A little bit, just a couple of verses later in Matthew 7, verses 9 to 11, Jesus, he's unpacking this. And he's backing up his claim. He's saying, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? What do you need from God? And why aren't you asking? What do you need? And why aren't you asking? This is the kind of way that Jesus tells us to approach God. He tells us to come as children with a childlike faith, a childlike expectation that their Father is actually going to follow up on what he says. So my encouragement to you is you can come to God not as a timid employee trying to find a reward, but as a cherished, loved, adored child to God, to the King of Kings. God is so much better than we think. We all have a tendency to make God so much meaner than he actually is. But come on, this morning, when you say, I believe, I want to bless you with the courage to know you can put weight behind those words because God is trustworthy. And he says, everyone who asks will receive. So this week, spend some time reflecting on the goodness of God, on the Father heart of God. I mean, we all struggle with this sometimes. Bill Johnson from Bethel Church, he had to write a whole book on this. He had to write a book just called God is Good because people weren't getting it. We just have to know, not just up here, but in here, that God is good. He's a good Father. He's trustworthy. He will follow through on his promises. God is so much better than we think. And that's why we're going back to this idea of 21 days in prayer, of prayer and fasting. Because you don't have to say, I believe, by yourself. 21 days of prayer and fasting. Come on, let's gather together and say, we believe. Together, we believe that God follows through on his promises. Whatever breakthrough it is you need, whoever asks will receive. Why aren't you asking? What do you need to bring to God? Come on, we're believing together. I'm believing that by the end of this month, we are going to be just full of people's phone calls, texts, emails, conversations are saying, you would not believe what happened to me this week. You would not believe who I spoke to. You would not believe this sickness I've been dealing with has been healed. You would not believe this job opportunity that comes along and says, and I just can't wait for when we respond and say, yeah, actually, I do believe. Because we're doing it together. Come on, can we expect good things? Can we ask bold things? Can we dream big things? I mean, this Sunday is Vision Sunday. We had our anointing service last week, but this Sunday, I want to get us excited about 2020, and I'm going to be sharing a few things that are coming up. I mean, for instance, pretty soon, we'll be letting you know more and more as it comes along, but pretty soon, we've got Momentum Conference coming up at Easter. And I don't know if how many of you have been to Momentum Conference before. Some of you have, some of you haven't. But what it is, it's our annual Easter conference at Equippers Church. And what we're doing is we're gathering literally hundreds of people across all Equippers locations in the UK, across the world, people who don't even belong to Equippers. They want to come along and say, there's an atmosphere of faith in this place. I know I can step into this place and there's a new boldness here. There's a new boldness to believe for more, to dream for more, to ask, knowing that God is listening to me. And I want to say, can you believe with me that at Momentum Conference, we're going to see 20 people, at least 20 people in this place going along to Momentum Conference and experiencing that breakthrough on Resurrection weekend, on Easter weekend. Can we believe together as a church that we'd see that many people? We've got a little bit of a promo. I just want to play it to you. This is going around the other Equippers churches. I just want to play this promo to you. I just want you to get excited. I want you to just get a glimpse of this kind of atmosphere of faith that we're talking about. Have we got that, team?
Nothing is impossible for him. He is an all things God. And the Bible says that if he lives in you, that means you can do all things. I can do all things. Push your neighbor and say, I'm in the all things business.
The is a sound of heaven touching earth. Can you hear the sound? You want to position yourself to catch the wave of what's touching earth.
For God to do something new, the chances are He is going to want to reposition you from where you are to somewhere new.
It's not just the graphics, it's not just the sound, it's not just the music, but I know that there are those anointed speakers. I just can't help but come alive when I start to hear some of those things. It's not just optimism, it's not just hoping against hope, but it's positioning yourself like we're doing right now with prayer and fasting, like you're doing right now, being here on a Sunday saying, 2020, it's going to be better, it's going to be bigger, there's going to be more. Whoever asks will receive. So why aren't you asking? Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Keep on asking by yourself and keep on asking with us. Partner with someone. Get someone around you. Something else that's coming up is there's going to be this great Sunday called Equippers One. What's going to happen is that all the Equippers locations, so Chertsey, Weybridge, Woking, Richmond, Essex, we're all going to come together on a Sunday and it's going to be a massive, massive celebration. And we're invited. We're invited to that. I don't know about you, but could we believe that on Equippers 1, in a couple of months' time, again, you'll be getting all the details soon, but on Equippers 1, can we see 40 people from this place? 40 people going along, partnering with our new family and saying, we believe. We're believing for more. I think we can do that, church. So if the first thing we've got to do is keep on asking, the second thing is keep on seeking. As we started off this year, spring's just round the corner. There's going to be new life cropping up soon in the natural. And I think there's going to be new life cropping up in the spiritual as well. So if we're starting off this year in the spring by asking, in the summer, summer's a harvest time. In Psalm 65, verse 11 in the NLT, the psalmist says this, God, you crown the year with a bountiful harvest, with an overflowing harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. So if point one is in the spring, we're asking, we're keeping on asking. Point two is then in the summer, in the harvest time, we've got to seek, we've got to look, we've got to find. So my question to you is, what are you looking for? In your life right now, what are you looking for? That next stage of your faith journey, that next stage of your career, that next stage of your family life, your social life, your health, your work, your studies. What are you looking for to take you to the next level, to take you where you need to be? Jesus said this in John 4, verse 35. He's talking to the disciples and saying, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months till the harvest? Lighthouse Church, this morning, we're in the middle of winter. Don't we have a saying that there's still a few months to go before spring arrives, before the plants start growing, before things are ready? Jesus is saying, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with an abundant harvest. And in order to seek, we've got to have eyes to see. Jesus is telling us to seek, to look, to look around, to find, to watch. And we've got to have eyes to see. He's saying, lift up your eyes. What are we lifting up our eyes from? Maybe this morning you've got to lift your eyes up off your circumstances and onto Jesus. Maybe this morning you need to lift your eyes off your big problem onto an even bigger God. Maybe this morning you've got to lift your eyes off of the fear of what could go wrong if you take that step. And you've got to turn your eyes onto what could go right. What could go right? We've got to take a risk this morning, church. We've got to take a risk in 2020 and say, I'm looking around. I know that there are big problems in people's lives. I know that there are people who might even be here this morning silently suffering, silently going through things that nobody knows about, that is beating them down day after day. But come on, can we together say, we believe? And can we together lift our eyes off our circumstances and onto Jesus? In Christ, you have everything you need. So just lift up your eyes. Give it to God and go for that opportunity. Go for that promotion. Go for that dream. Go for that next step. Because God has got your back. Everyone who seeks, everyone who looks, everyone who lifts up their eyes to seek will find. Will find. Not might find, will find. Give it to God. Go for that opportunity. Stare down the risk. Look those odds right in the face and say, I believe. I believe. I want to encourage you. You've got the best person at your back, the King of Kings, the author of the universe, cheering you on, empowering you, pushing you forward. I want to encourage you. Punch above your weight and be surprised. How do you think I got Rachel? Go for that next step. Go for that next step. We can't keep this to ourselves either. People are going to look at us and see, that's a daring people. That's a daring church. That's a church that's not afraid to take risks. That's not a church that's not afraid of failure, that picks people back up again and moves forward and champions people to be the best they can be in their Monday to Friday and their Saturday and their Sunday and all over again. So I want to challenge you. Have an invitational mindset. We got these cards. We've had them for a while. We've got these cards on the desk at the over there. They're quite handy. They fit in a pocket or your purse or your wallet or your bag. Take a stack with you. Tell people what's going on in this place, because this place is going to be filled to overflowing with the presence of God and a community of believers who stand together and say, I believe for more. I believe for better. And it's amazing how the smallest invitations, the smallest opportunities can completely turn things around. I've got a friend who I'm still in contact with pretty much every day. I lived with him at university, and I kept inviting him to church. They used to send a minibus along to campus, and I kept inviting him, saying, "Hey, I'd love you to come along. You know, we've got a band. You got a band? Yeah, we got a band. We got some great food. You got great food." I kept inviting him along, asking him, hey, it's just down the road. Just hop on the bus. I promise you they're not that scary, these Christians. I kept asking, and his excuse was he kept oversleeping. So they launched a 5 p.m. service at Equippers, and he still kept oversleeping. That was his excuse. But I was doing this because I wanted him to meet God, because I saw him, and he was looking for love and affirmation and confidence in all the wrong places. He was seeking, just like Jesus told us to. He was seeking. He was looking around, but he wasn't finding what he was looking for, because he was looking in all the wrong places, in his work and how successful he was, in his studies and how successful he was, in partying, in relationships, in drinking. He was looking in all the wrong places. So what I started doing is I used to say, hey, can I just pray for you? And he, to start off with, he sort of like looked at me a bit funny. And he's like, oh, all right then. But I just started inviting him. I kept inviting him to church. I kept saying, hey, can I pray for you? Can I just bless you? And then I took it up to the next level when he got used to it. And I started writing Bible verses on sticky notes and putting them on his wall. And just filling up his university bedroom with all of these Bible verses. And it eventually got to the point where he was saying, oh, tell me about that bit about grace in Matthew. I quite like that bit. Tell me about that bit about joy. And then all of a sudden, one time I was just about ready to go to bed, and I walked past his door, and he was sat there, and he was reading a little book, and I looked a bit closer, and it was one of those little red Gideon Bibles that you get handed out at school. And he was just reading it through, and I said, oh, what's going on here then? I was trying to sort of like keep it in, but my heart was going all excited. And he was saying, oh, I was just looking at that passage you got, and Could you pray with me? I think I want to seal the deal. I think I want to meet this God person. So there was no thunder or lightning moment, but moment after moment, invitation after invitation, prayer after prayer, eventually I got the privilege of sitting down with my friend and praying a prayer with him and welcoming him into the kingdom. And he came along to church and he loved it. He was bouncing up and down at the front with the rest of them. Can we have an invitational culture? I'm saying this because later on this year, we're going to have Movie May. I don't know how many of you experienced Movie May before, but we're going to have a whole month where we're going to turn this place basically into a movie theater. We're going to roll out the red carpet. We're going to have popcorn during the service and drinks. And we're going to have amazing messages where we're going to be preaching out of movie clips. Just telling stories, telling parables like Jesus did from well-known movies. It is a fantastic month. I love it. I can't wait for it each time. And let me tell you, having been around Equippers a little while, that is the time when people feel okay about inviting their friends to church. Saying, oh, we got popcorn this Sunday. You what? People are intrigued. They come along and they love it. And people get planted and people get saved. And people enjoy church, if you can believe that. So as we come along to that, can we believe? Come on. I think apart from the Christmas show, we've, in terms of numbers, seen incredible amounts of people coming in, wanting to be planted in this church, coming time and time again. Can we believe as a church, Movie May, for 60 people? Can we believe on one of the Sundays, at least one of the Sundays during May, we're going to see 60 people in this church? We're going to have to put out another row of chairs or two. Can we believe that Richard's going to have to put out some extra chairs in May so we can see 60 people in this church? Come on. And then finally, the third thing Jesus asked us to do is knock. Ask, seek, and knock. We got to ask, and we got to keep on asking. We got to ask ourselves the question, why aren't we asking? Why aren't we going to a God who cares about us? We got to seek, and we got to lift our eyes off our circumstances and onto God instead. And finally, we got to knock. To everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. If we just look at Psalm 65, verse 11 again. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. We're asking right now as spring is around the corner. We're seeking in the harvest season in summer. But I know that winter's going to roll around again soon at the end of the year. But God says, even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. There's grace and there's perseverance. And there's courage, even in the winter seasons of our souls. We all like to think that, you know, new year, new me, New Year's resolutions, where we're going to head to the gym and work off all of the Christmas weight that we put on, and it's going to be, I'm going to give up this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to read 52 books in a year, I'm going to go through the whole Bible in a year, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to, you know, bring all my work colleagues to God, and everything like that. But spring doesn't start in January. And good intentions often fall to the ground. And maybe right now, even right now, you're still in a winter season in your soul, in here. There's still things left over from 2019 that haven't gone away. But God's promising you, even the hard pathways can overflow with abundance. Because I get it, we've got to ask God. We've got to seek God. But sometimes asking feels more like wrestling. Sometimes asking feels like hammering on a door, saying, God, when is this going to open? When are you going to let me in? When is this going to be over? When can I get out of here? But Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. Sometimes there's a fight. Sometimes more than asking, we just got to knock. We got to keep hammering on the door. So my challenge to you is, in your breakthrough, in your next step, in that opportunity that you haven't moved forward in yet, in that situation that you desperately need God to walk into, why have you stopped knocking? Why have you stopped fighting? Why have you stopped asking? Jesus hasn't. Jesus hasn't stopped knocking. Right at the end of the Bible in Revelation, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. We sang that song right at the start. That song, Echo. I've decided I'm not giving up because you won't give up on me. Jesus is not going to stop knocking at the door of your heart. So why would we stop knocking in return? Why would we stop fighting for that breakthrough? Why would we just be content to sit in the winter season forever? Spring and new life and summer and harvest is happening outside, but inside, we're still stuck. We're still afraid. We're still sick. We're still anxious. Why would we stay in that place when Jesus is saying, I'm knocking on the door. I have that opportunity for you. I have that grace for you. Keep knocking this morning, church. Keep knocking throughout 2020 and say, whatever comes my way, I believe. I believe. Find the courage to stand up again, to keep knocking. If needs be, to kick that door down, if that's what it takes. Keep knocking. Whatever's going on, whatever situation you're facing, stand with God and say, I believe. I believe this problem, this sickness, this worry that's trying to finish me. I believe I'm not finished yet. This thing that just keeps trying to limit me and squeeze me and shut me in, I believe that there's more than this. I believe that in God, I have everything I need. And I know that my problem is big, but my God is bigger. I believe, church. Come on, I'm saying this, that in the autumn, in the winter season, in the hard seasons, later on in this year, speaking personally as a teacher now, it's going to be back to school season. And I always get that back to school feeling, except this time I'm the teacher. But in September, when the kids are going back to school after summer, when students are heading to university, I believe that we're going to break into schools and do youth work, do assemblies, do anti-bullying campaigns. I believe we're going to break into St. Mary's University and Kingston University, and we're going to see families, students flooding into this place. Can we believe that this year in September, as a church, we're going to see 10 new families and students in this place? Going a little bit further into Halloween, last year, in 2019, we reached over 150 people just in that little building on 27 Seaforth Avenue. 150 children and parents came in and walked away with a gospel message. Walked away knowing, hey, church can be fun. 150 people. Come on, this year as a church, I know Halloween's ages away, but can we say this year's Halloween alternative party, where we're celebrating light instead of darkness, where we're lifting up God instead of the enemy, we're going to reach 200 people this year. We're going to go above and beyond. We're going to see more. And then Christmas is going to roll around before we know it, because it always does. And we reached 58. 58 people came along to the Christmas show. It was packed out. It was beautiful. It was amazing. Can we double that this year? Can we see 100 people in this place, this December, this Christmas time, worshiping God with carols, hearing about a good God who loves them, leaving this place knowing that the Father's heart is for them, to take them on a new adventure, to take them to places that they'd never been before, to get rid of that pain, that heartache, and cause them to stand on their own two feet. I'm excited for 2020. I'm excited. I'm excited for this 21 days of prayer and fasting that are going to lead to incredible breakthrough. I'm excited for Momentum Conference as we celebrate the resurrection together. I'm excited for Equippers 1, that we're going to be gathering our entire family together. I'm excited for the harvest season in summer, where we're going to go all out with Movie May. I'm excited for back to school, where we're going to see, in those difficult seasons, when winter's rolling around again, new families, new students, new parents, new kids. I'm excited for Halloween, because we're going to take a stand and we're going to reach out with the light of God to 200 people. And Christmas, we're going to see 100 people in this place meeting the King of Kings. I need you to believe with me, church, because I can't do this alone. But can we together say, I believe in 2020, there's going to be more. There's going to be better. There's going to be bigger. It's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good year. So just as we come to a close, I want to encourage you. Keep on asking. If you stopped, why have you stopped? Keep on asking. 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 Keep going to God and reflect on his goodness, that he will make good on his promises. Keep on seeking. Lift your eyes above the waves, the storm, your circumstances, your problem. Your problem's not your problem. Your problem might just be that you don't feel able to take it to God. But come on, the God who created the universe, the God who died for you and rose again, that same power is at work within us. Keep on seeking. Lift your eyes above your circumstances and keep on knocking. Sometimes it's an ask. Sometimes it's a fight. But don't give up on Jesus, because he will not ever leave you or forsake you or give up on you. Even in the hard pathways, spring, summer, autumn, winter, even in the hard pathways, there is more than enough. There is more than enough grace. So this year, as we carry on with our prayer and fasting, as we get excited for the new things that are happening, as we stand together with you in your problems, in your issues, in your heartache, in your pain, can we say together, I believe that 2020 is going to be different. Take as many of these cards as you need, because the world needs to hear about this. This place needs to be filled. This city needs to be transformed. Have an invitational spirit that says, this is too good to keep to myself. Invite people along. Because I'm saying all of these things. I'm talking about these events, this Equippers One, this Movie May, this Christmas. And I want you to see it as well. I want you to see how amazing it will be. I want you to see the numbers. Because if you can see it, you can have it. If you can see it, you can have it.
The night has fallen, the fear is coming.